to Romans 12. Romans 12, 3. You know, wouldn't it be great if a billionaire came up to you and he gave you a blank check and told you, he said, write any amount on it, whatever amount you desire, put that amount on it and it's yours. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Whatever you desire, just write it on there and go to the bank. It's good. You won't be able to play basketball with that check. It's not going to bounce. It's going to cash, right? Well, today I want to talk about the blank checks that God has given us as Christians. God, our Creator, has given us many blank checks, but we don't think about these things. Why? Because we value fleshly and worldly things more than spiritual things. But what you don't understand is, if you will make God your priority, all these other things, the Word says, will be added unto you. Amen? God has to be at the center of your heart. All right? So there are quite a few things that we have been given blank checks for in the kingdom of God. Of course, today I only have time to give you a few. But as you're reading the Word in your own personal time with the Lord, I want you, when you're reading the Word, I want you to notice and pay attention and ask yourself, is what I just read a blank check from the Lord? Is this a blank check? But so I want to share with you some of those blank checks that God has given to the body of Christ. And we're going to talk about that here a little bit. The first blank check that God has given us as Christians is for the amount of faith that we possess in our life and the ability to build up and charge ourselves up spiritually. Amen? Look at Romans 12, 3. I've covered some of these in prior messages, but you know what the Holy Ghost said? He goes, there's nothing new under the sun. Do you know what sermons are? It's a reminding of the things of God. Amen? See, it's revelation. It might be new to you. It's not new to God. Amen? All right, so here we go. The Romans 12, 3, and it says, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt, here it is, to each one a measure of faith. All right, King James says, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, it's like this. It's like when God created us, he has given us the ability to have faith. He's given us like a yardstick, a measuring stick that says faith on it, and it's up to us as to how much faith that we are going to possess in our life. Amen? The Bible speaks of different kinds of faith. It speaks of no faith, little faith, great faith. So how do we get it? Romans 10, 17. Let me stir your minds up with remembrance. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we are the ones that determine how much of the word of God that we fill ourselves with. Do you agree with that statement? We are the ones who determine then. If we're the ones that determine the valve, we have that valve in our hearing. Are we going to listen to the word? Are we going to feed on the word, right? We determine then how much faith we're going to possess in our life. It's your choice to believe what you read and hear. Did you know that? That's why some people can hear the word of God all day long, but there's no faith mixed in it. Say, I got to mix some faith in it. Right? Now, here's the deal. The first sign of a sickness or a disease attacking the body usually is a loss of appetite. All right, and the same is true, I say it all the time, the same is true in a spiritual sense. When a Christian loses their spiritual hunger for God's word and a personal relationship with him, they are in, you could safely say this, that Christian is in a backslidden condition. There's no standing still in the life of a Christian. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. There's no standing still. It'd be nice rather than going back, but come on. The only way, if you let go of him, you're going to move back, right? You got to hold on to the rope of the word. Hallelujah. So if you're in that position, I say it all the time, you need to force feed yourself the word of God. Put that spiritual IV in you. Don't move, right? And force feed yourself with the word of God. Many Christians try to push aside the responsibility of increasing their faith by this. You want to know what scripture that a lot of Christians use? Oh, come on, here it is. Listen to this. They want to use the scripture about faith being the size of a mustard seed. Have you ever heard someone throw that scripture out like that? Like, oh, this is my ticket to have little faith right here, or no faith, right? Just a mustard seed. But here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Are you ready for this? He said, I want to remind you that even a mustard seed side of faith has no doubt or unbelief mixed in with it. Think about that. There is no doubt or unbelief in a mustard seed. It's still a mustard seed of what? Faith. Amen. Look at James chapter 1. Go there with me. I got lots of scriptures to go through. I love it. Chris usually writes down all the scriptures before service on a small piece of paper. And he said, hey, looks like you're preaching today. I got like a whole page of them. I always tell him, just go make a copy of it, right? James 1, 6 through 8. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or person suppose that they will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So again, we are commanded to approach God with faith. And it's our responsibility to have it, and it's our responsibility to increase it in the Word of God. Go with me to Jude 20. Jude 20. Jude, actually, verses 20 through 21. Now, look at this. And it says, but you, beloved, so he's talking to Christians, of course, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we have the opportunity to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, or praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, here's why. So when you're praying in tongues, now, praying in the Holy Spirit means to pray in your native language, being led by the Holy Spirit, and it means praying in tongues. You get it? And what it means, it simply means, is that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You get it? All right? So we have that opportunity to build ourselves up. That's why when you're praying in tongues, it's you doing the speaking, not the Holy Ghost taking over for you. Because it says, you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. So that's why when people receive the Holy Spirit baptism, they're just sitting there, and we're like, go ahead, pray, let it come out. It's going to be a language you don't understand. And they're like, and we're kind of waiting. Are you going to do it? Oh, I thought I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to do it for me. No, you do the speaking. You build yourselves up. When you start speaking, that's when the Holy Ghost starts to give the utterance. That's why it's faith. It takes faith. Because you don't even understand what you're saying. You getting it? You don't understand what you're saying. So your mind's telling you, no, the mind and the enemy is telling you to stop because you're wasting your time. That's when you need to press in even harder. So this will assist in keeping you, it says, in the love of God, producing a life of obedience, maintaining a spiritual mindset, and it'll help you maintain a spiritual hunger and intimacy with the Lord. So receiving the Holy Spirit baptism is very important. If God says to receive it, you know, we probably should do it. Why would you leave it out? Why would you leave it out, right? But listen to this. The Holy Spirit said, the very act of taking the time to pray, whether in your native language or praying in tongues, especially in praying in tongues, is an act of faith because you're spending time with the Lord and you're trusting the Holy Spirit to give you words to speak, whether it's tongues or being led by the Holy Spirit with your English language or you watching from Japan, hello, whatever your native language is, all right? So, and it says, and the Holy Spirit says, because you're taking the time and making it a priority to communicate with me, that is why it will build and charge you up. That's why. Because you're making him a priority. Here's what you're doing. Are you ready? Matthew 6:33. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you put him first, you're always going to have results. Amen? Just the fact that you trust the Lord enough to involve him in your life. Just taking the time when something's going on and you need his wisdom, you just stop and you invite him into your situation. The Holy Ghost likes that. Amen? Here we go. The next blank check from God is our level of knowledge and wisdom that we possess. I don't know. It would be great. It's like I asked the Lord, why can't, when we first got born again, why can't everything just be downloaded into us? You know what he said to me? You lazy thing, you. You lazy thing, you, right? But that's not the case. Everything was not downloaded into our spirit. It even says this. Here, let me kill some sacred cows here. Are you ready for this? Even Jesus, in his earthly ministry, it says he had to grow spiritually and in wisdom. Go with me to Luke 2:40. I want to show you something here. Everyone is quick to give an excuse of not doing something because, and then when you bring Jesus up, they're like, yeah, but that was Jesus, right? Well, let's take a look at this. Luke 2:40. In fact, you want to know what Jesus was? He was our example. Amen. He's not only our Lord, King, Savior, amen? He is our example. And we're to carry on with his ministry, amen? Amen. Look at Luke 2:40. It says, and the child is capitalized, which means it was Jesus. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So how many of you know, if Jesus had to grow in these things, how much more do we? Amen? I love what it says. It says that, I love right here, it says, and the child grew and became strong. He grew and became strong. Say grew and became. That is showing there was a process involved. Not even the Son of God was everything downloaded into him. He had to grow in it. All right? Look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. I told you I'm going to run you through the word. We're going to make up for all you slackers during this holiday weekend that didn't get into the word. Proverbs 4, 5 through 9. I love this. Wow. Look at this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. I want you to notice there's exclamation marks. I'm no English major. But God's trying to tell us this is important. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, for she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Why? So the enemy can't steal it out of your heart. Verse 8. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Man, that's good. So get wisdom, get understanding. Both are available to us, but we are expected to go and get it. Amen? That's why it says in the council of many counselors, there's what? Wisdom. Go and get it. Go and get it in the Word. Go and get it from godly people in your life. Go, just put an effort into it. That's what God's saying. Put an effort into it. If you put an effort into getting wisdom, getting understanding, guess what? He said, you'll get it. God's not just having a carrot in front of us and us running after some imaginary carrot. God's not doing that. When God says to go get something, he's saying there's a provision to get it. The question is this: how bad do you want it? How much do you desire it? It's up to us as to how much wisdom, how much knowledge and understanding we have. Again, this is a blank check from God Almighty. It's a blank check. Look at James 1 through 5. Say blank check.
Blank check.
I like that. Amen. James 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, without shame, and it will be given to him or her, right? But listen to this. So God invites us to seek him. And it says that when we seek him, when we ask, seek, and knock, not only will he give it, but it says he will give it liberally. You want to know what that means? Without restrictions. Without restriction. Man, listen to me. Solomon, God said, what do you want, Solomon? What do you want? He said, I want wisdom. Look at the richest man in the world. He sought wisdom. Quit chasing things and seek the Lord. Are you following me? Quit seeking things and quit seeking the things that are given and seek the giver. Amen? That is where breakthrough is going to happen. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not gaining knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God and not seeking understanding from the Holy Spirit will invite destruction into your life. It just will. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Ignorance is not bliss in the kingdom of God. It's downright lethal. Satan and evil spirits will take advantage of that lack of knowledge. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We need wisdom, we need knowledge. You need both. If you lack one, come on, you need them both. Amen? 2 Peter 3, 17 through 18. And it says these words, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, we not only have a blank check to grow in the knowledge of Jesus, but it goes even a step further. It says the if knowledge that you possess, it literally says this, that you and I have the opportunity to grow in the grace or unmerited favor of the Lord. That's power. That's shouting material right now. Are you following me? In other words, God is telling us this. Take advantage of the favor that he has given to you and use it to grow spiritually in your walk with him. Now, this is important. Use that grace or unmerited favor to get to know Jesus Christ in your Heavenly Father more. He's saying this, take advantage of this grace. Now, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God is saying this in his word. He's saying, use this grace to spring forward into the blessings of the new covenant. Use it. When Satan and evil spirits come along and try to attack you with thoughts that you don't deserve it, you know what you need to say? Say, yeah, that's right, devil. I don't, but I got it.
Amen.
And I'm going to use it. And I'm going to springboard into it. That's why you got to stop looking at yourself through your own eyes and start to see how God sees you. That's when breakthrough's going to come. Amen? We can't hammer that enough. Look at Galatians 5:13. We gotta get past this place. If you're ever going to grow spiritually in the Lord, you got to get your eyes off yourself and get them on the Lord. You got to know your identity in Christ. You have to. If you fail to do that, you will be stunted. Your growth spiritually will be stunted your whole life on this earth. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use your liberty. Yeah, we've been called to freedom. Heck yeah, we've been called to liberty and freedom. Amen? Absolutely. But don't use it as an opportunity to give into your flesh. Are you following me? See, now what does that mean? It means before you got born again, there was no liberty. All you did, you were a sinner. That sin nature was on the inside of you. Yeah, that's all you did. Guess what? Now you have liberty. You've been set free. But you have this little thing called the mind that needs to be renewed. So now it says this. Yeah, you've been set free from this sin, but it's very easy to fall back into it. Don't use that liberty to fall back into it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Say blank checks.
Blank checks.
Mm-hmm. Some of you have blank checks sitting right in front of you in your life and you're not doing anything with it. The Holy Ghost is saying it's time to fill those things out and take them to the spiritual bank. Amen?
Amen?
You know, there's nothing more frustrating than when you write someone a check and they haven't cashed it in a year. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why is my bank, what's going on? Right? Listen, you have checks, use them.
Amen.
Amen? 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Look at this. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? Tells you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine purpose has given to us all things. Say all things. That pertain to life. He's talking about this life. See, the promises of God are for this life. You don't need healing in heaven. You're going to be healed. You're not going to have those problems. Where do you need the provision for healing? Right here. Amen? He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us. Okay, promises. You awake out there? Okay. Have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these, through what? The exceedingly great and precious promises, through knowledge of them and having faith in them, come on, amen, that you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is an escape. Say, there is an escape. There is an escape. Do you want to know what that escape is? The promises in the Word of God. The exceedingly great and precious promises in the Word of God. What is it saying? It's saying there's blank checks right here. What are you going to do with them? I'm telling you, God wants us to be a partaker of the divine nature. That's not New Age. That's the Bible. We should be living higher
Amen.
Than the sinner.
Right.
Higher. Amen?
Amen?
So this passage reveals to us that grace and peace can be multiplied. I like multiplication, don't you? It can be multiplied in our life through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to just sit in front of the book all day and find all these things. Or else it should. And if it doesn't, maybe you're a little backslidden this morning. Come on, somebody. Right? God's divine power. God's divine power has given to us all things. All things. Say all things.
All things.
I looked up the Greek word that's translated all things. You want to know what that means? All things. Thought it was going to be different, right? No. It means all things. Say all things.
All things.
So what that means is this. Again, he has made the provision. He has made the provision. The more knowledge of God from his word, the more grace, the more favor, and the more that peace is multiplied in your life. Is there anybody in here, you're feeling a lack of peace in your life? Well, it says that grace and peace can be multiplied. Isn't it great when you just have peace in your life? I love peace. Say peace.
Peace.
Say I need peace.
I need peace.
I want it multiplied in my life. So I can't help but see an invitation or a blank check to walk in the supernatural power of God. And it's our responsibility to do that. Amen? The next blank check from God is the amount to which you are filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit baptism. There's a difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit baptism. Did you know that? Those are two separate things. The Holy Spirit baptism is a one-time experience. You ask someone, either a Spirit-filled Christian lays hands on you and you receive, or you just ask and you will receive the Holy Spirit baptism. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is a little different, all right? It means this. Well, first of all, go to Ephesians 5. I want to show you this first. Ephesians 5. What I'm talking about is this, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about maintaining a Spirit-filled life. The degree to which we walk in that is up to us personally. Amen? Not up to your spouse, not up to your pastor. It's not up to anybody else, but it's up to you personally. Amen? Look at Ephesians 5. I mean, I'm here to help you. You can give a horse water. Come on. But you can't force them to drink, right? No, absolutely. Woo, yes. Ephesians 5. Ah, hallelujah. So all I'm doing is that I'm bringing some horses some water this morning. I'm bringing a big thing of Holy Ghost water for you. Now, if you drink from it, it's up to you. If you don't, it's up to you, right? See, that's why you listen, when you're ministering to people, this will set you free. It's not up to you whether if they receive what you're trying to tell them or not. Hey, baby, all you're trying to do is bring them some water. Amen. That's it. Yep. If they don't take it, it's on them. No, it's good. Now, it's good to have a burden for the lost, but I've seen too many people where it starts to affect their peace. Right. But you got to remember, you can't control anybody. If a person wants to go to hell for eternity in the lake of fire, it's on them. Preach. You bring the water. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yep. That'll set you free. Amen. It's not up to you. You just bringing them some water. Right. You're just that spiritual waiter or waitress. Oh, I could keep going on this right now. Whew. You get the point, though, right? Yep. Ephesians 5. Come on. 15 through 21. Listen to this. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, that means excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Pastoral advice right there. Stay away from alcohol. It does no good. Stay away from it. Amen. Stay away from it. All right, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear or reverence of God. So it says to walk circumspectly. Say circumspectly. You want to know what that means? It means walk very carefully and very cautiously on this earth. Amen? Because there are many traps. There are many things that the flesh and the enemy, many pits, traps, and snares that the enemy has that will pull you down. So the Word of God is warning us right there. You better be very cautious on every step that you take, every word that comes out of your mouth, every person you're listening to. Be very, very careful. The flesh will prevent you from being and maintaining filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what this means. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means this, that you are allowing the Holy Spirit to influence every area of your life. That's all it means. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means that you're allowing Him to influence you. And the Holy Spirit will always keep you within the boundaries of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's never going to tell you to drink that Jack Daniels. Hello, somebody. Amen. Come on, somebody. Well, how do I know if it's the Lord or not? Run it through the filter of God's word. Because the Holy Spirit's always going to stay within these boundaries right here, right? See, the Word of God gives us the general boundaries, amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit is always going to stay within. So you don't have to sit there and wonder. Just get wisdom. Hello? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. So here's the deal. So a spirit-filled life means that you're allowing, you're staying having a spiritual mindset. You're keeping your focus on Him, and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to influence every area of your life. That's all that means, all right? So how often do you talk to others about the Lord and the Bible? How often are you making melody or song in your heart to the Lord with the Scriptures? How often are you thanking the Lord for all the things that He's done for you? How often are you thinking about the Lord in your life? All of these things the Word talks about determines if the Holy Spirit's going to be an influence in your life. If you're not doing any of those things and maintaining a focus on Him, guess who's going to get the influence in your life? The flesh and the devil. The flesh. Remember, flesh and demons work hand in hand. Don't try to separate demons from the flesh. They work together. Demons operate through the flesh. I can't stand that argument. Well, that's just the flesh. You don't think the enemy has a part in you doing that sin? Hello, somebody. Amen. Go to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. The kingdom of darkness and the flesh work together. That's why the Lord says you better walk circumspectly, walk cautiously, walk very carefully on this earth. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 12, 2 through 3, I want to take a look at. Once I get there in about 20 minutes. Okay. Here we go. Now, Isaiah 12, 2 and 3, and it says this: Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, or Yahweh, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. I love this. Therefore, say therefore. I like the therefores, because more is coming, more instruction. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. So we are invited to draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. Not just a well, but it says there's wells of salvation. You want to know what that means? There's unlimited potential. There's wells. Not just a well. I mean, it'd be good if it was just a well, right? Listen to this. The kingdom of God, as I talked about recently, the kingdom of God, the Word of God says, is righteousness, peace, and joy in that order. Listen to me, in that order. Understand, you got to understand righteousness in your life. There's two sides of righteousness. The first side is that your faith in Jesus has made you righteous. The second side of the coin, it's one coin, but flip the other side is you have to live holy. Some of y'all just picking one side of that coin. But God said, nah, flip it over. Amen? Amen. You got to know your identity. But here's the thing. Once you know your identity in Christ, right, then you will start to want to live from that place in identity. And that's when you'll start to live holy. Amen. Now, if you just start to do good things, but come on, somebody. There's a thing called dead works. Those works should be out of the motive of knowing who you are in Christ. Listen, here's the deal. So your works will not make you any more righteous than you are apart from your faith in Christ. You're just living out that righteousness. You understanding me? Amen. All right, now. All right. It's deep, but listen to this. All right, so the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. All right? So if you understand your righteousness, who you are in Christ, right, and you keep that your focus, it says this, that peace and joy will follow, right, in that order. Now think about this, righteousness, peace, and joy. You can't have joy without knowing who you are in Christ. Show me someone who doesn't know their identity and benefits in Christ. I'll show you someone that's not walking in joy and not walking in peace. So if you keep that, who you are in Christ, it's going to bring a peace into your life. And because you got that peace, it rolls over into joy in your life. Joy is kind of like the overflow. Say overflow. All right, so it says here, if there is no joy in your life, you are not drawing water or the benefits out of the wells of salvation. All right, the joy draws water out of the spiritual wells of salvation. You should be, oh, come on, somebody. Why? Because true faith has peace and joy attached to it. True faith has joy and peace attached to it. If you're missing any of those, you need peace and joy, then you can start drawing. Amen? Some of y'all a little dehydrated out there today. So this is a blank check from God to tap into the fullness of his blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're not, what God is trying to show us here, he said, with joy, you will draw out of the wells of salvation, right? So that's telling us that God's not, don't wait on God, he's waiting on you to draw it out. You know what that shows me? There's a provision there for it. There's a provision. Come on, say provision. Salvation has been called the all-inclusive word. There is not one area that salvation does not cover in your life, body, soul, and spirit. But it's up to you to apply it in your life. It's not automatic. I'm telling you, probably one of the greatest mishaps, flubs, of a Christian in the body of Christ is thinking this, that the benefits of God are automatic. In other words, you have no part to play in it. And that's totally wrong, right? Even the word says, according to your faith, be it unto you, right? Well, what does that mean if it doesn't mean that, right? I mean, it takes a demon to confuse yourself on that. Amen. Listen to this. Salvation is defined as this, deliverance, healing, preservation, soundness of mind, prosperity. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a millionaire. It's just saying you're going to have more than enough in this life, right? Poor means you don't have the daily necessities. Are you following me? It means a joy to be rescued, general well-being. So the word salvation is used. You look through the word and the promises. It's used in a material sense, a temporal sense, and in a spiritual and eternal sense, right? Salvation is a present possession for the Christian right now. It's just the fullness or the completeness of salvation is going to happen when you transition out of your body, when you leave your earth suit. That's like the fullness of it, right? All right, so say fullness.
Fullness.
Here we go. I'm cruising right along here. All right, the next blank check from God is the degree to which your mind is renewed. This is a blank check. Again, go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Say blank check. Why are some Christians excelling more than others? Some that have been Christians, you know, whatever, for however long, and why are some excelling more than others? Well, I think the answer lies in this right here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This thing ain't too hard. It's reasonable after what Jesus did for you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the amount of transformation that takes place in our mind, in our belief system, in our thoughts, is up to us as Christians and not to God, right? The word will transform your mind, but you got to get the word on the inside of you. You got to get the word on the inside of you. You have to, I like to say it this way, you have to install the word in your mind. You have to install the word in your mind, or for all you computer geeks out there. Now, you are either being conformed to the mold of this world, okay, this worldly mindset, or you're being transformed by the word of God. There's only two options that's going on. Those are your choices, what's taking place on the inside of you. Amen. Now, So the results are totally upon you. That's a blank check. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they, all right? So this is why it's so crucial to renew your mind and fill yourself with the Word of God. It will determine the way that you view yourself and who you are becoming right now. Amen. The manifestation of where your life is and who you are right now is what your belief system is right now. Think about that. Some people, they're in this hopelessness, like, oh, I can never get out of this pit. I can never change. I am who I am. No, you're not. You can change. You can change. Amen? Listen, the body of Christ is filled with people who are drug addicts, filled with people who are addicts, are filled with all these people that, the Apostle Paul, killing Christians. And he was turned, I mean, this guy, are you kidding me? So there is no excuse other than the fact that you're lazy and you're not renewing your mind. That's it. We can end it right there, all right? So start thinking about and imagining the change you want to become. Oh, let me say that again. Are you ready for this? Start thinking about and imagining the change you want to become. You have to. You have to. The imagination plays a role in this thing. It really does. All right? So if you're filled with the Word of God, you will begin to see yourself the way God sees you. I know it sounds so simple. I know it sounds cliche. But man, one day when it starts to click on the inside of you, you're going to rise above where you're at right now. And you're going to become a conqueror like God wants you to be through Christ Jesus. So if you lack God's perspective, you will continue to view yourself in the flesh, and you're going to stay at that low point, okay? And it's going to negatively affect the direction of your life. You can change. Listen to me. Change it. As Michael Jackson said, make that change. He brought up Michael Jackson from the pulpit. Get over it. You know what? God created him too. God created him too. In fact, I like the song Man in the Mirror. So you know what? Don't I? I do. Every time it comes, I crank it up. It's inspirational. Goodness. So people are so judgy in here. Oh. Oh. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray or wish that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So you could say it this way. Our prosperity, that word prosperity in the Greek, you want to know what it means? It means to have a good and successful journey. Where's that journey? Right here on this earth. Prosperity. Our prosperity or ability to have a good journey and successful journey are totally dependent upon our soul, our mind, will, and emotions prospering. Amen? And our soul, mind, will, and emotions can only prosper when it's renewed with the Word of God, if the Word of God is getting in there. Amen? All right? So healing and our health is a blank check from God. Think about that. Healing and health is a blank check from God. God is showing us how to receive and how to live in health and prosperity. Oh, you're one of those prosperity preachers? Yeah, I am. Because, you know, I kind of don't like seeing people not have their daily needs met. No, I didn't take a vow of poverty, people. How crazy is that? A vow of, that doesn't bring glory to God. In fact, that hurts the heart of God. God doesn't like to see his people in lack. Amen? But listen, so there are several reasons. First, we need God's perspective and to know his will. And that'll create a faith and boldness in us. And it will rip apart the cobwebs of lies that the world and the devil has sown in the heart of people. Amen? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit said this. I wrote this down this morning sitting at the desk. Some Christians are not taking care of their soul, and it's affecting their physical bodies. Don't ever forget this. It starts from the inside out. Healing starts from the inside out. Amen? It is a proven medical fact that negative thoughts, negative emotions, and negative words can cause sickness and disease in the body. This is not a new revelation. Medical science is telling us this. Listen to this. So this means this. Are you ready? Every cell and organ in your body, every part of your body is paying attention to your thoughts, words, and attitudes. And guess what the body's doing? It's just responding to them. It starts from the inside out. Say inside out. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. People try to spiritualize this. They try to twist it. Let me say that. They try to twist it, right? No, it says exactly what it means. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. It's saying that our attitude, what's going on in our heart, affects our physical body. So be very careful. That's why the word says that the heart contains and flows out of it the issues of life. Guess what can flow out of it if you're negative? The issues of death. Hello, somebody. Right? So we got to be very careful. Take care of your heart. I'm not talking about the ticker, although you should. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. Look at Philippians 4:8. Let's just review on that real quick. Philippians 4:8. This is a good reminder here. Say blank check. And it says these words, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. Wow, the Holy Spirit just spoke this to me. He's tying this in to 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray wish that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospering. Philippians 4:8 is telling you how to have your soul prosper. Because healing's attached to it. All of a sudden, it just dropped in me. Whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, fill your soul, fill your mind with these things. Meditate on these things because as a man thinks, so is he. Amen? Now, listen to this. I gotta do this right here. A while back when I talked about the thought life, I preached on this verse. And the Holy Spirit showed me something important that I want to remind you all of right here. The Holy Spirit. So all these things, the boundaries that the Holy Spirit said, think on things within these boundaries. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Think about future thoughts of what you desire to become within the boundaries of these things. Because that's what you're going to step into. Sure, it's okay to think about past things that were happy and good, but really the most important thing is start to see yourself within the boundaries of these things. Are you following me? He says, use your imagination to see yourself well. So you're using Philippians 4:8 to see yourself in the future, not necessarily in the past. I mean, the past was good and all, but guess what I found out? I can't go back to those days. Sorry, my DeLorean doesn't work. My flux capacitor doesn't work. All my Back to the Future fans. My flux capacitor's broken, right? Doc broke it. But here's what we can change. You can't change the past, but you can do something about the present and the future. So when you start to see yourself and imagine a future you based on the word, you're sowing into that. You're sowing into the spirit realm on that, and that's what you're going to reap in your life. Now, here we go. So the next blank check, I'm very quick here. The next blank check from God is the amount of answered prayer and revelation we receive. the amount of answered prayer and revelation we receive. Real quick, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This ain't up to God. People throw this on God. Nope. God say, no. Get all the blame off of me. This has nothing to do with me on this. Listen to this. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, underline it, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Not we think we have, not that we hope we have. No, it says we know that we have. We know that we have the petitions. What petitions? The ones that are in line with the will of God. That's the importance of being led by the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that gives you the timing on this thing. Oh, come on, somebody. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. When we ask according to his will or his word, we receive. So the word of God gives us the promises. It tells us the will of God on all these things. But here's the thing. If you're going to leave the Holy Ghost out of it, you're going to ask for things, but you're not necessarily going to see the results right away. And that's when they step out of faith and they never get it and they blame God. This is the importance of living a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life is what? Being influenced by the Holy Ghost in every area. And that also means being influenced in your prayer life. If you're being filled, if you're staying focused and filled on the Holy Spirit, that's going to help you in your faith walk. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to help you in your faith walk, and it's going to help you on a timing of a certain thing. Are you following me? Say timing. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the time bombs of God. Amen. Say time bombs. Look at James 4, 1 through 3. James 4, 1 through 3. I mean, this whole thing about the Holy Spirit, all right? Remember when some of the leaders in the Word there in Acts, they came upon some disciples and they said, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. That's a bad place to be. You better have that close connection with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, not only knowing the word, but having that relationship with the Holy Spirit so you can know the timing of things. Oh, it's so important. James 4, 1 through 3. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but you can do the right thing, but it can be the wrong time. Right? Hello. James 4, 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? See? Wrong desire. You got your desire focused on the wrong thing, you're going to bring wars into your life. Desires for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Now, I'm telling you right now, those three verses, it can't get any more clearer, any more plainer by the Lord of why we don't get answered prayer. I mean, my goodness, is that... I mean, this is the manual. This is our life manual that God's telling us. Can you imagine how God feels when we blame him for things? He's telling us right here why prayer doesn't get answered. Now, so the results of our prayer life is up to us, not God. We simply need to know the word of God and abide in Christ and stay in line with the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need to stay in tune or connected with the Holy Spirit for the proper timing. Amen. Oh, timing is everything. Look at John 15, 7 real quick. John 15, 7. Almost done. John 15, 7. You getting anything out of this today? Yes. John 15, 7 and 8. Hallelujah. If you abide, Jesus said this. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you do. See, here it is. If you abide in me, what does it mean to abide in him? You ready for this? being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And then it says his words abide in you. It means that the word of God is in you. You're focused on the word. You need both for answered prayer. Oh, come on, somebody. You need both for answered prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this, by what? By answered prayer. My Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God loves when you get your prayers answered. Now that goes against so much religious junk, doesn't it? Because we're thinking, oh, well, it's God's responsibility. He says, no, it's yours. In fact, your answered prayer by abiding in Christ, being influenced by the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Word. In fact, here's why. Here's why it says that all these prayers will be answered if you do that. Because you're led by the Holy Spirit. You're led by the Holy Spirit. We just read in James that if you're led by your own desires, hello? You're led by the flesh or your own desires, it says, you're not going to get it. It's got to be led by the Lord. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. So don't take the Holy Spirit out of this equation. And don't blame God for your unanswered prayer, you lazy thing. It says right here that God is glorified by your answered prayer. By your answered prayer. So if prayer's not being answered, there's something. I wouldn't be going to God and checking with it. I'd probably be checking on my own heart and saying, Holy Ghost, where am I off on this here? Don't be blaming God. Amen? And here's the other thing. When you're influenced by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is in you, listen to this. Your desires are going to be holy. Are you following me? It says that you can ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust or own desires, right? So when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you know you're in the will of God. And it says if we pray for anything within the will of God, we know he hears us and we know that we have the thing that we asked. Oh, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I can't help but see a blank check in there. Say blank check. Real quick, Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's kind of exciting to know that answered prayer depends more on you guys than it does God. Why? Why do I say that? Because when you think it's God's responsibility, you're going to him with hope and not faith. Because, after all, you might not know if it's his will. Especially something that's not necessarily spelled out in the Word. Are you following me? Something that pertains to your personal life. Again, I never read a passage in here that said Marianne will be the Register of Deeds in Tuscola County. But the Holy Ghost knew that. And she was in tune enough with the Holy Ghost to apply for it and to press for it. She didn't have a Bible verse on it. Hello, somebody. That's the importance of hearing from the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now look at Jeremiah 33:3. It says this. Get this now. Call to me and I will answer you and show you, reveal to you great and mighty things which you do not know. Oh my goodness. So here's what you got to understand is this. If we don't call out to God in prayer, if we don't pray, revelation from him, revelation of the word, revelation for your life will not be released to you. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge. That means bring him into your life. God, what do you want me to do? Lord, give me revelation. Call unto him. It's that simple. Call unto him. Invite him into your life. That's it. That's it. if we don't call unto him, revelation will be hindered. However, if we follow the instructions in the book, there is no barrier. He's saying there's no barrier to the revelation that the Lord will give unto you. Ask, seek, and knock. In other words, he's saying put an effort into it. Desire it, and you're going to get it. I see a blank check right there. I see a blank check right there. In the next blank check, real quick, is the effectiveness of our life and ministry on this earth for the gospel. There is no limit to the amount of people that you can witness to. There is no limit as to how many people you can lay hands on. There's no limit to how many people you can pray for. There is no limit. Come on. How many demons you can cast out. Come on. There is no limit to how many disciples you can train up for the kingdom of God on this earth. 2 Timothy 4:5 tells us to make full proof of our ministry and fulfill the ministry. What does that mean? It means there's a chance that if you're not doing what you need to do, you might not make full proof. Some of you are 3/4. Some of you are half. Some of you are... Oh, I'm good. Hey, I may be 46, but come on. Are you following me? It says make full proof. Say full proof. We need to make full proof. You want me to do it again? Okay. Well, that's where I draw the line right now. This is on camera right now, so they got proof of it. Okay, the last point, and I'm done. Very short. Last point I want to mention is that salvation or getting born again through the Lord Jesus Christ is the blank check for every person on this earth. Every person who's born into this earth has a blank check to become born again. Real quick, Romans 10, 9 and 10 is my last scripture here. I just want to show you this. Say blank check. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is a blank check. There might be blank checks that are being let go by Christians, but if you're an unbeliever in here today, you need to take advantage of this blank check. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you need to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He shed his blood. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. This blank check, listen to me, this blank check, if you're in this place not saved, or if you're watching online around the world right now, this blank check from God expires the moment that you take your last breath on this earth. Don't leave this place without making Jesus the Lord of your life. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. That is a blank check that does indeed have an expiration. If you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you need to do that today. You don't know. I've had people tell me before and talk to them. They said, well, I'll do that one day. And then they ended up dying in a car accident. They ended up, something happened, and that was it. Their blank check expired. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, whether now or after the service, come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, maybe you're in this place, and you're realizing, wow, there are a lot of blank checks. There are blank checks that have not been taken advantage of. And in fact, I've backslidden. I've fallen away from the Lord. If you want to make it right with him, you're ready to do a brand new start. You're ready to really jump in with your total focus and desire on him. Either now or after the service, come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members. And just let's clear your conscience today. Amen? If you're in this place, you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you want to learn more about praying in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, come on down. We'll pray over you and talk to you a little bit about that. And if you need prayer for anything else, we'll stay here as long as you need. But what a great day today. Amen?
Amen.
So take this, I'm telling you, take this word. Remember, answered prayer is up to you. God tells us that. Now go out and have fun, and let's see some answered prayer. Amen? Amen. All right, have a great week, everyone. We'll be in the back shaking some heads and, you know.